And you can have a seat. It is a special day. Of course, it's Mother's Day, and it's our day when we dedicate our kids to the Lord and ourselves to the Lord as well. And so I want to take a little break from our year-long series, The Story of God's Love, to think about that in particular and just what we're saying when we say we dedicate ourselves to raising them in a way that will pass on faith. Because I think there's some passages that speak to that, and we're going to look at that this morning. Now, you know, I think for many of us, we look around in our world, and it's a little discouraging at times to think about the world that our kids or our grandkids or even great-grandkids are going to inherit. And the problems that, whether they like it or not, they're going to have to face, some things that maybe we did not face, especially when we were young, but they're going to have to deal with it whether they like it or not. And we think about the conflict that's at work around the world, some wars that are going on, conflicts in our own culture, the brutality that we sometimes see at work in our world, and know that they're going to be faced with this. We look at some everyday challenges, like the things that they face on social media. And while social media can be a great tool to connect with people, it can also really bring a lot of bad things into the lives of our kids. And the challenges that come with things like artificial intelligence and all these things that are in some ways relatively new to us, but in some ways also reflect the fact that culture changes over time, that we're continually faced with new and challenging things that we don't exactly know how to deal with. But the good news is Scripture gives us some help with that, because we are not the first ones to be faced with this urgency of wanting to give our kids some tools to face all those challenges. I mean, we know they're going to have to face them, so what will help them deal with all that? And certainly faith is one of the things that we believe will help them face the challenges, whatever they may be. And so what does the Scripture have to say about raising our kids in a way that passes on faith and gives them the tools they need to face the changes that are at work in our culture? And when we look back in the book of Deuteronomy, what we find is that the people that Moses is talking to. Now, we left off last week with Moses and the people of Israel in Egypt. Pastor Neil talked about those first nine plagues. And in many ways, we are taking a break from that part of the story, but this comes a little bit later in the same story, decades later, as a matter of fact. The people have been through leaving Egypt and walking out of slavery and are now been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're just about to enter the land that God promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as we've been discussing. So they are in the midst of rapid change in their world. And so Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, by the speaking of the Holy Spirit, gives them a second reading of the law. In fact, the word Deuteronomy means the second law. And so in Deuteronomy, we see Moses restating much of what's in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you read that, what you'll find is a restating of the Ten Commandments that were originally given in Exodus chapter 20. So as the people prepare to go into the land, Moses is saying, this is what you need. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses says, this is how we pass on our faith in God to our children. And certainly he's speaking to parents, but I think he's speaking to grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends and the assembly of the people of God. So it's not just that our parents have responsibility. We all have responsibility to share our faith with those who are coming behind us. So what does Moses teach the people about this? Well, we've heard it already today, but I want us to examine it in more detail. It begins in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And the first thing that Moses does is remind the people which God we're talking about. So it's this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, or Yahweh, the personal name for God, Yahweh, our God, Yahweh is one. Now, even as that verse begins, there's a lot going on there. Hear, O Israel. The Hebrew word is Shema, or hear. And so, in fact, this whole passage is known as the Shema, the hearing. And ancient Israelites would quote this verse or this passage every single day, maybe more than once. And in fact, many Jews do the same even now. It is part of what it means to be a Jew, is to know this passage, because again, it passes on that faith. So hear, O Israel, what? Well, it's a little hard to translate because in some ways there's not enough words there. It's something literally like Yahweh our God, Yahweh one, or the Lord our God, the Lord one, or Yahweh our God, Yahweh alone. So what it's telling the people of Israel is that unlike all the religions that surrounded them, which had a God of the sea and a God of the sky and a God of the sun and the moon and the God of crops, the God of livestock, all these things that they had to appease and make happy to make sure they were healthy, wealthy, and wise, for the people of Israel, it is Yahweh alone. And so they are pledging to worship Him, the one who created all things, the one who sustained life, the one who created human beings in His image to reflect His image to the world around them. This one God was the singular, the only God that the people of Israel were to worship. So when they passed on faith in God, it's important that they recognize it's this God, this one and only God. Verse 5, love Yahweh with all Yahweh your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And so this is a relationship of love. It's a covenant relationship, a relationship which God ordained, God started, in which He promises to be their God and provide them, make them a great nation and give them a land that they're about to inherit. And they are called in turn to love God. Now, that's an emotional word. It's a word of decision in some ways. But they're called to love this God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And what does that mean? Well, for them, the heart was the seat of emotion, like we think of that. But it was also the seat of thinking, of intellect. So they would, in their language, they would think with their heart. Now, we think about our minds, but for them, the heart was both the feeling and the thinking. So it's all that's going on in the mind, our feeling and our thoughts. So love the Lord your God with all your feeling, with all your thoughts, and with your soul, which we sometimes say that the soul is the spirit, what's left after we die. But for them, the soul was everything you are. It is the body and it is the spirit. Whatever makes you, you is the soul. So the very being. So love God with your feelings, your thoughts, your being, and your strength. Everything that you can do. So it's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? It's all that we are. Love the Lord your God, Yahweh your God, with your heart, your soul, and your strength. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Many of you will remember this is what he quotes. And then he adds to it a verse from Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. And so for us as a church, our mission, what we believe it means to follow Jesus, is to love God and love others. Our faith is based on this. What else does he say? Verse 6. These commandments, and he's talking about everything that's in Deuteronomy, okay? All the reminders of all these commandments. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, in your mind, in your feeling. They're supposed to be imprinted on who you are, okay? So these commandments were the way that the people of Israel related to God. This was the covenant relationship. The commandments were what marked them off as God's people, what separated them from the ones who worshiped all those other gods. And then he talks about how to pass it on, and that's where I want us to focus today. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So you want to take these commands, you want to make them so much a part of who you are that wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, you are passing them on to those who come behind you. Maybe they're your own kids. Maybe you're the parent, they're the child, and you're passing your faith to your children. Or maybe it's your grandchildren or those in the community of faith. You're passing this on. And Moses is pretty clear about how we do this. It's all the time. So when you're walking along, we might say when you're on the way to practice or rehearsal or a game or whatever it is, when you're in the car, well, you talk about it. You talk about faith. You talk about God. You talk about how God is at work in the world. And then you use every opportunity to put God's word, God's commands in front of your kids. You tie it on your forehead. You tie it to your finger. You put it on the hem of your garment. You put it on the wall above your gates. And the people of Israel took this pretty literally. In fact, they did all of those things very literally. So they took God's word wherever they went. I don't know if that's really the point. The point for me is, be creative in getting God's word in front of your kids or your grandkids or your nieces and nephews and friends, and use whatever you've got to do it. And maybe it is discussion along the way, as you're walking, as you're lying down, when you're getting up, as part of every day. Or maybe this is being creative and putting God's word in front of our kids, whether it's on something that goes on the wall or on their cup or plate or just whatever it can be, to be creative about doing this. Maybe it's reading a book together, a storybook from God's word. But just use whatever means are necessary. And it reminds me, when we think about this passage of, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," and to pass these things on, that Paul, someone who was raised with this verse as a part of every day, when he's over in Romans chapter 10, sort of thinks about this hearing as a Christian. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then this in verse 14, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?" So if we want them to call on the Lord, we want them to lead them to faith. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? There's that word again. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Men who heard this verse and recited this verse to himself every day, if not multiple times a day, reminds us that people need to hear. If they're going to be drawn to faith in Jesus Christ, then hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you got to believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus. Now, that passage says if they're going to hear, they need someone to speak, to be the preacher. And maybe your response to that is, well, good thing we got a preacher. It must be all up to James, right? Well, I am a preacher, it's true. But I have limited time. I mean, on average, someone who attends church pretty regularly is going to be here maybe 3 times a month, and I'm going to talk for 20 minutes, so that's an hour, right? And maybe we think a little more broadly than that. Our kids are in kids' church right now, and they're learning about Jesus. They're learning about faith. All these things are being passed down to them. And again, okay, well, maybe they get 3 hours a month. Well, that's still less than 40 hours a year. So it's up to not just the time we have on Sunday morning to use, which is valuable and we need to use it, but it's up to us as the community of faith. It's up to us as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, to take responsibility here and pass that faith on to make sure that our kids hear. So what do we learn? I think we learn a very simple lesson. It's this: make God part of every day. Not just Sundays and Sunday mornings, but make God part of every day. The process of lying down and getting up and walking along, just as Moses said. Make God part of every single day. So our kids are hearing about God, not just once a week or even twice a week, but every single day they are hearing about how God is at work. So how do we do that? Well, I think there's lots of things we can do. Here's a few that come to my mind. Number one, study together. And I don't mean by that that every kid needs a mini sermon. And you say, well, I'm not one who can really teach. I'm not going to be able to talk about because I don't know that much. And well, the truth is, if you can talk about the fact that God loves you, that God sent his son Jesus to bring us salvation, you've got to start. And it's amazing how just opening the Bible, maybe with older kids, or opening a Bible storybook with younger kids, they will hear those stories and you know what? They're going to ask some questions. They're going to ask some questions that you're not going to know the answer to, right? They're going to say, where did Cain get a wife? Where did she come from? And you know what you're going to say to that? I have no idea, right? Because that's what I would say to that. I don't know the answer to that question. So when your kids come to you and say, they ask these questions, and it's okay to say to them, I don't know. And it's okay to say to them, you know what, that's a really good question. Let's study about it and find out. In fact, you know, I do a Bible study with some of our older men on Monday morning, and they ask me questions all the time that I have to say, you know what, I don't know the answer to that. And if I say anything else, I'm going to be saying more than I know, okay? So it's all right to say, I don't know, let's study that. And that's what a good study Bible is for. So don't be afraid to study the Bible with your kids because you don't think you know everything, because none of us do. We are always going to be stumped by our kids because they're going to come up with questions that we will never think of. And they're going to surprise you with that. And you know what? That is good because they are thinking. So encourage those questions. Allow those questions. In fact, it's so much better when we're talking about the things that they are wondering about because their interest is there. So it doesn't have to be a mini sermon. It can just be a story and time to talk about it. But I don't think there's any real substitute for studying these things together. And then second, talk about what the Bible says about life. So it's not just a book of stories. It's not just a book of sort of theological platitudes. It's how do we live this out? What does it mean to actually follow God? What are we talking about there? And so we think about how it applies to life. And maybe places to go to do that, read the book of James together. I mean, it's filled with practical living. Read the book of Proverbs together. It's all about how we live life as followers of this God who's described all the way through the Bible. And certainly we find many other places that we get practical application of what it means to follow God. So look for those places and talk about how it's actually lived out. And then finally, share your own experiences. I mean, tell your stories of how God has been at work in your life, how God helped you make a decision, how God answered a prayer, how God was present in something that really matters. Because you know what? Those may be the things that your kids remember when you're long gone. Your stories will be what they remember. So be sure to tell them. Because if you don't tell them, they won't know. Share your experiences of God. You know, my lesson today is to make God part of every day. The truth is, God's already part of every day, isn't he? I mean, he's always there. He's always ready to be active in our lives. He's always watching over us. He's always listening for us to call out to him. So it's not so much that we can make God part of every day because he already is. Really, we're acknowledging that God is at work this day and tomorrow and the next day and inviting him in to be part of our family and inviting him in to be part of our church family. And maybe today, if you're really candid, you're like me and you can say, I haven't done this as well as I want to. I haven't encouraged this as much as I should or could. But the truth is, we can't change how we've done this in the past, but we can change how we do it in the future. So maybe if you haven't done this as much or as well as you'd like to, make the decision today to do more in the future. Because you can change how much you bring God into the everyday this afternoon and tomorrow and this week when you're walking along the road, when you're rising up, and when you're lying down. Make God part of every day. Let's pray together. God, we come before you, and again, we are thankful for the kids that you have entrusted to us as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and as the church. God, we're thankful for the responsibility to pass on our faith to our children, and God, we just pray that you help us to be effective in that. God, help us to follow the instruction that you've given us in Scripture. Help us to live that out. And God, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.